It's past, they said. The season's already gone. You could see them dressed in their costumes, some pirates and ghosts and goblins, some heroes and some look more like villains, going door to door with bags, collecting their goodies. Trick or treat. I look back on when I grew up, and it was a big time. I would plan days, weeks ahead, what I was going to wear and how much I was going to get. Collect it all and put in stacks and heaps on the table. I told Jalynn I was going to talk about Halloween today. She said, "Dad, it's pretty over. Are you going to make people who dressed up feel guilty?" It's actually much bigger than that. I want to talk more than just about Halloween. I want to talk about a Halloween mentality, something that goes on in our minds, in how we deal with and handle the issues between good and evil that are going on around us. Colossians 1, 13 and 14 says, "For he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." A Halloween mentality is clear in our society. It gathers together a group of truths that they hold to be solid that maybe we've let slip into our own philosophy. So I want to look at those in Colossians 1. It says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness." The dominion of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is real. You know, we've almost come to the place that we no longer consider it real. We pass it off as if it doesn't really exist. We're no longer scared by the kingdom of darkness. The fear that we had as children, we feel like we've outgrown. No longer afraid. It's all just make-believe, pretend. And what used to instill in us horror, now we can pass by quickly. As if it were a fantasy world. As if Satan were no different than the fear of the Klingon Empire, or the Loch Ness Monster, or being thrown into a Jurassic Park setting. All of those are fantasy. And sometimes we look at the dominion of darkness today as if it's nothing more than fantasy. I think that when we clear everything else away, there's a bigger issue. It's understanding what evil is. Sometimes we consider a certain act as wrong or bad, but don't really look at evil in its broader context. We don't look at what evil does. We don't understand the real pain that's there. We don't connect a crippled child, a divorced parent. We don't tap the kingdom of darkness with the struggle that's going on between a boss and an employee. We don't recognize the greed in our own heart as being tied to a kingdom of darkness, a domain of evil. Maybe if we step back and understood evil in a bigger picture, we would be different. Different in our understanding of how to deal with evil. Evil is the absence of God. Evil is the absence of God. I'd like to just marinate in the thought a little bit. Let it go around and around until it sinks in and becomes a part of us. Evil is the absence of God. Just like darkness is the absence of light. That's all darkness is, right? The same thing's true with evil. And maybe that's why we can step back and begin to understand what happened in heaven. God never created evil, did he? No. God created a beautiful light-bearing angel named Lucifer. Do you know how evil was created? when Lucifer stepped back from the true light and withdrew himself and sheltered himself and caused a separation between he and God. That's where evil was born. Evil is the absence of God. And sometimes we can see it in a dark, evil deed, but sometimes in just our pursuit of the world around us, we don't think of it as evil when we're pursuing the things that make us happy apart from God. What can be considered as a moral act, a moral deed, could definitely be evil if God's not there. And it doesn't take for me to go and do some bad thing outside to fall under the power of the kingdom of darkness. It only takes me absenting myself from God. The story of the prodigal son contains with it the real key to what happened with sin, and that is that his son decided to not be in the presence of God anymore. I'm sorry, his father. Or maybe they're the same. Evil's not an impersonal force. Ever since Satan decided to pull away from God, he became evil personified, and with it draws others away from God and seeks as his strategy to separate us from God. He wants to gain a group that is separated from God so that they can suffer as he suffered. I know, sometimes we look at it and we just say, oh, it's the world who's pulling us away. Or sometimes we just say it's our own sinful nature and desire. Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 3 says it this way, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." It mentions two things there, those that are highlighted in white. When you followed the ways of the world, certainly there is the world that's out there that's evil, right? You got to help me here. Is that right? And then there's also the inner draw that we have of the physical nature that's pulled away from God. There's that fleshly desire, right? But there's a bigger issue involved. And that's what it says in the middle. The ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's at work in those who are disobedient. There is a person who is responsible and makes his primary goal to draw us out of the kingdom of light and into the kingdom of darkness. Who baits us? When we were little, we had cottontails run through our wrecking yard that we used to own. There were all kinds of little bunnies in the springtime, and we wanted cottontails. So what we did is we took and we made a homemade trap. It consisted of a big heavy basket propped up with a stick with a string that ran quite a ways and breadcrumbs. And what happened is we would wait semi-patiently, quietly over on the side, and we would see the bunnies start to take the bait. And they'd get closer and closer, crumb after crumb, drawing a little bit further in until we had them. By the way, we actually caught bunnies that way. I won't say what we did after that. I want you to still like me after it's over. It says, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The ruler of the kingdom of the air. Do you know what Satan does? He seeks to draw us in to the kingdom of darkness by baiting us a little bit at a time. When we start to recognize that it's not an impersonal force, that the dominion of darkness is ruled over by Satan, and that Satan has a plan to pull us away from God, to separate us from God, we begin to understand this whole picture. A Halloween mentality would say, it's not a real world out there. Not a real world of darkness. They're just some objects and symbols. It's not really that important. It's not real. It's true that a whole philosophy was developed, a whole religion was developed on that concept that evil is really not existent out there. Evil's just a concept that's in the mind. Mary Baker Eddy, in the book Science and Health, wrote that evil or matter has neither intelligence nor power, is the doctrine of absolute Christian Science. And this is the great truth which strips all disguise from error. Evil is not a power or intelligence. It doesn't really exist as we think of it. That's what she said. And I would say that the majority of modern society has bought into that same truth. They see it as, it's just an old philosophy. The really only wrong is what's wrong in your own mind. It's different when we begin to be on a terrorist alert as a nation to look at evil. We always knew that there was the possibility of a plane smashing into a big building. We realized that there could be the possibility of a pandemic breaking out and evil destruction taking place from those things. And it always was in our mind that we should be somewhat watchful. But it's very different when we recognize that there's somebody behind it that's strategizing to do it, right? Isn't it different? Hasn't that changed our airport security? Hasn't it changed the fears that we have? Hasn't it changed how we watch when we recognize that there's a power of evil that's after our demise? As Christians, I think we need to be on terrorist alert against a dominion of darkness, against calling dark light and pretending like the good things are bad and the bad are evil, are really not that bad. The good witches today call them mediums. And at first, you may think that that has nothing to do with you and your where you live today. You may think that I'm beyond that. I don't think of it in that way. Or do we? Do we sometimes miss that Satan's trying to pull us away from God? The deliverance of God is real. Not only do I recognize that the power of darkness is real, but the deliverance of God is real. You may not have been able to say amen to the dominion of darkness because we didn't want to look at that. But the reality is that we've been delivered from that dominion of darkness. And that's good news for us. If you put it in terms like Stephen shared with us, for 29 years, I lived this life. Do you know what he's saying? For 29 years, I spent my time in a dominion of darkness looking for answers in all kinds of things. Maybe some of them didn't seem so bad, but I looked for an answer in those things. And today, he has a deliverer. Amen. In fact, it says, "For he has rescued us." He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He has, past tense, rescued us from the dominion of darkness. The deliverance of God is real. And when I talk about deliverance, when I talk about being rescued from the dominion of darkness, it comes into practical essence in everyday life. You know what it means? I've been delivered from anger. It no longer has rightful power in my life. I can be delivered from drug addiction, alcoholism. I could be delivered from pursuing the world, from gaining money. I can be delivered from addictions that hold me and the chains that are round about me. I can be delivered. But more than that, I have been delivered. Israel's whole picture and whole story is about a people who were in bondage to a power that was beyond their control. To a power whose sole bent was on making them subservient, on destroying them. Israel was delivered. Brought out with the mighty hand of God. And yet, you know what happened to Israel? Do you know what turned Israel in the wrong direction? They forgot. It didn't take that long. On the journey, after they were just steps outside of Egypt, They began to forget how they'd cried to God and begged God for deliverance from the ruler that had held them in slavery. And instead, you know what they started saying? Oh, if we could only go back and get those flesh pots. If we could only have all those leeks and garlics and onions and all the things that were back in Egypt. They glossed over the dominion of darkness. They began to see it as if it weren't really that bad. You know what a Halloween mentality is? Halloween mentality is to trivialize the dominion of darkness. It's to make it seem as if it's not really that important. It's not that big a deal. We're no longer scared by it or afraid of it. We don't recognize what we've been delivered from. We embrace it. We accept it. We buy into it. And we begin to long for it again. In Stephen's prayer at the end, do you know what he said? It went something like, "And help me to remember what my life was like before you. Help me to understand the deliverance and what you've brought me from." Part of the way that we live in the kingdom of light is remembering what the kingdom of darkness really was like for us. Have you been delivered? Five people, praise God. Have you been delivered? Do you remember what it was like before God? Before God in your life? Before God had rulership in your life? Do you remember what it was like? Sometimes our memories are short. All we can remember is what we counted to be the benefits. Those little cottontails, they did have the bread. They just forgot someplace along the line what that great benefit caused for them. Satan is a defeated foe already. Satan doesn't have rightful rulership in our life unless we give it to him. Jesus is deliverer. It's more than an event that's taken place. It's a person who delivered us, who cared for us enough to bring us out of that life, to make something new in our lives. What I believe is the struggle between the great controversy between Christ and Satan is so simple that it becomes familiar and we lose it. My brother works as a safety engineer at Hanford Atomic Energy Plant. He's the head of their department, and what he does is he goes from place to place and looks at infractions of rules and how to write out procedures. And he said that one of the biggest things that happens is people get used to being around nuclear waste. He talked about all the precautions that are taken, you know, as they're handling it. And he said he watched as somebody put on all of their gloves and all of their hazmat kind of materials and reached down and was handling the waste and then reached up and wiped their face. Not one person, but five people touched their skin within a one-shift time period that he observed. It wasn't that they didn't know. It's just that they'd gotten so used to it that they've forgotten the devastation and the pain and the horror of the dominion of darkness had escaped their mind. The consequences to their actions, they'd forgotten. Jesus is a personal deliverer. He personally comes and helps us to know who he is and who we've been delivered from. If we understood, if we could grasp, if we could remind ourselves of Satan and what Satan's really like, we'd begin to, again, recognize the power of the Spirit, what he can do for us, and be able to recognize that we can't go back to that life. Jesus said he came for a specific purpose in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight, to set the oppressed free. To set the oppressed free. Jesus came for a purpose, to deliver us from the kingdom of darkness. Not just in the future, but now. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now is the prince of this world driven out. Now. It's not the same here as it is in other places. If you want to know about the kingdom of darkness, share with somebody who's been in a third world country. They have real life experiences with the dominion of darkness. I've tried to sort out why it is that it happens that way, but there's clear demonic activity. People who are clearly possessed, who will cause bodily harm. People who've sold their soul to Satan and have powers to do incredible things. Evil that is such that the voodoo practices actually do work because there's demons behind them. A world in which people were afraid to commit to Christianity because they were more afraid of demons than they were impressed with angels. To them, the dominion of darkness was totally real. But they hadn't seen the dominion of light. They hadn't seen God and his power. They hadn't understood that God had already conquered Satan. They didn't realize that God was already the warrior that had moved out ahead of them. They didn't realize he was the power. But in our case, I think it's just the opposite. I think we've been so freed that we forget that there's a kingdom of darkness that we've been delivered from. If you think about it, real soldiers don't play army. They've been through the experience. They don't play a battle. They've seen the horrors of war. They understand how serious it really is, and they don't play games with it. How could it be that we begin to toy with darkness and not realize how we're stepping onto Satan's ground? It's not just about putting costumes on. That's not my issue. It's about the fact that darkness has begun to not seem so bad. Imagine, if you would, being a Jewish child and having your father walk into your room and finding in your room a swastika, images of Hitler, Mein Kampf. And when asked, said they're nothing, just things I begin to look at. How would you feel if you were the father of that Jewish child? They're just symbols. They're not really real. Well, they used to mean something, but he doesn't exist anymore. Hitler's gone. How would you feel? Not a rhetorical question. How would you feel? Devastated. How would you feel? Was the Jewish father betrayed? Hurt? Would you think that it was an innocent practice? Would you encourage him to just go ahead until he worked through the phase? Would you back up and say, they may have meant something back in their day, but they don't mean anything here today? And yet we go through the same kinds of practices in an event like Halloween. We introduce even our children to books like Harry Potter and allow them, at least in our society, to read through them and just pass them off as innocent. We let them watch programs on television that have the incantations and the chants just there. They're just a joke. They're not real. It's just pretend. But the kingdom of darkness is real. And Satan is real. And what he's doing to make us immune to the horror of darkness is by letting us buy in piece by piece to that darkness. It was after Harry Potter was written that a mother said, "I don't see any harm." I didn't see any harm in my child reading the book. And again, my issue is not with Harry Potter. That's not the issue. The issue is the reintroduction of darkness and evil into our lives, to the place that we accept them as if evil really didn't exist and if there's no power. She said, "You know, it's not that big a deal. It's just fantasy like all other kinds of fantasy." And then over a time period, less than a year, the same child picked up the goth mentality, began to dress in black. Same child became involved with people who were going through spells of white magic. Same daughter who at one time was interested in spiritual things wants nothing to do with God. I don't think that's coincidence. Do you? There's some things we don't tease about, play with, joke about. There's some things that are far above. For me, I became a pastor. We celebrated Halloween in a different kind of way, just did costumes and fun things. But I've come to the place that I want to say I don't want to do anything that ties to a kingdom of darkness. I don't want to step onto the ground. I don't want to pretend. There's some things we don't joke about, play with. Would you joke about the Holocaust to somebody who'd gone through it? When was the last time you made a little symbol or allegiance to the Ku Klux Klan? How would you feel about introducing your child to incantations, reading them over and rehearsing them like prayers? At what part do we draw the line between where we're living and evil? For me, it's as far away as I can get. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In whom? In whom? The domain of darkness is real. The deliverance of God is real. And the change in me is real. The change in me is real. I've become somebody new. Somebody said, "I can't tell what that is, Pastor. What's that thing there on the organ side? I can't see what that is." If you were to look close, it's a bronze statue. And what it is, if you look and examine the actual statue, it's a body being peeled off with the shimmering gold body inside. And the old body's being pulled off. What Stephen went through today in baptism, it's becoming a new him. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You wouldn't go back to an old life, would you? Why go back to the old life? To the dominion under Satan? Why would you go back to an old life? Would you cheer on the rapist, the abuser? Would you make jokes? Would you put up symbols to them around the room to decorate? We so easily slip into a kingdom of darkness without recognizing that I'm different and I don't want to go back. I'm somebody new. I don't want to go back to the old life. The same person, by the way. Have you become somebody new in Jesus? Say amen. Part of it is leaving the old behind and walking out of that kingdom of darkness. You've been married to Christ and you live a new life. You can't separate from the old life and go back to it at the same time. Imagine, if you would, being joined to Jesus in marriage and still courting and flirting with your old girlfriend. Husbands, I can tell you, it won't work for long. But what we do when we turn to darkness, what will we do when we go back to that old life, what we do when we flirt and court with the joys and pleasures of sin, is we're flirting with an old mistress. Whom we've left because she was destroying us. We've become new, somebody new in God. We have to take on that new identity. Do you know what it means? Having that new identity means that I've been joined to Christ, so I'm somebody different. And I no longer look at myself as how I used to be. I no longer excuse my actions as that's just a part of who I am. It may be who I was, but it's not who I am. I get angry. It's just who I am, really. It's a former life. It's who you used to be. We become safe from Satan in God's arms. What he does is he put a cloak around us. Protects us from evil. We make the decision as to whether to stay inside. There's a life that we walk. Sometimes what happens in our modern society is that we don't have a clear distinction between the evil life, a life without God, and the life with God. Sometimes what happens is we begin to believe the propaganda that Satan's putting out. Matthew 10, verse 1 and 7 and 8 says, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal sick and diseased. And you go proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. The demon world is real. Power of darkness is real. But there's a greater power. It's the power of God. And it says, because you've become somebody new, you now have the power of God that rests with you. Because you have God with you. You walk to a new life with a new power. My challenge to you this week, different than some other sermons, different than some other times, I'd like you to go through your life and say, where am I ignoring the kingdom of darkness in my life? Where am I letting Satan slip in? Where am I going back to where I used to be? What are the new things that have happened to me in Christ? Am I living in that new life? Do I believe it? 3. Am I pushing Am I pushing back the kingdom of darkness by my presence because God's in me? Am I pushing back the kingdom of darkness by my presence because God's in me? We are fighting a battle. It's a battle that takes place in here. It is against dominions and powers and authorities in heavenly places. It is a battle that God has fought for us and we join in. Sound the battle cry, it says. See the foe as nigh. Raise the standard high for the Lord. Let's stand together and sing our final song. Clearly see that there's a battle to be fought, that we want to stand on the side of light and let darkness flee, that we want to be bold, Lord, and not to accept the treats of darkness when it means that we sacrifice our commitment to light. Lord, help us to stand bold enough to be able to be a shining light for you, that others would be drawn to you, and God, that we would live in the victory of a new life that you've given us in Christ. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.